We are blessed this morning to have Bella Radmer come and read today's scripture, which is Colossians 4, 2-6 on page 1180 in your pew Bibles.
Devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person.
I'm looking for volunteers for the next number of weeks for children or youth who would like to read the Word of God. I think Bella has done a great job. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your Word, which we often take for granted. And I know there's been a lot of emphasis upon it this morning, not only in our singing, but also in our announcements and praying. And we thank you that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth, full of salvation and sanctification. Father, today I would pray like the Apostle Paul that my words would be clear and easy to understand, not only for the believer, but especially for the unbeliever, for salvation, and for the believer, for sanctification, to make us more like Jesus, all to your praise, honor, and glory. So I pray in his name, amen. We're coming to the end of Paul's letter to the Colossians. And towards the end here, he gives some final exhortations for Christian living. And today in verse 2, he says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Now, that word devote is continue in the King James. And William Vine lists 10 different words in the Greek for the word continue. The word Paul uses here is proskarterio, from two words, pros meaning towards, and karterio, to be strong. In other words, to be strong towards. Vine adds, to endure or persevere in or be continually steadfast with a person or thing. Paul uses it in Romans 12:12 in regards to prayer, telling the believers there to be devoted to prayer, like he's saying here to the Colossians. And this was the mark of the early church. And I want you to take a look at some of these scriptures. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 on page 1088 in your pew Bibles, beginning with verse 6 through 8. Acts chapter 1, 6 to 8. So when they had come together, that's the 11 apostles with Jesus, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs, which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. And so they were told to wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit would come upon them in power, and then they would be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. And what were they doing while they were waiting? Well, they were praying. So turn to me to verse 13. It says, when they had entered the city, they went on to the upper room where they were staying, that is Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all with one were continually devoting themselves to prayer along with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So in other words, while they were waiting, they were praying. They are praying continually. Same word that Paul uses in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. They were devoted in prayer. They were continuing steadfastly in prayer while they waited for the day of Pentecost and the Holy Spirit to come upon them. Then turn over to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. This is after Pentecost, after the Spirit had come upon them, and they began to preach the word of God in the different languages of all the Jewish men that had been gathered from all over the world. And the Spirit fell, and some 3,000 men came to faith in Jesus, and the church was born. And then in Acts 2:42 we read, and again the same word, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. This was the mark of the early church. Four things: continually devoted to the apostles' teaching, the word of God, to fellowship, spending time together, to the breaking of bread, which was in the sharing of the Lord's Supper, and then to prayer. And so it is that early on in the church, and even before the church came to be, we see how the believers were devoted to prayer. They continued steadfastly in prayer. And that is, like I said earlier, that is the mark of the church. And so it is as believers in the body of Christ, we are to be devoted to praying, devoted to praying for each other. I saw an interesting article that caught my eye this past week on the Internet. It says, North Carolina restaurant offers a 15% discount to pray in public. Interesting. So, but there's a little catch to it. A Winston-Salem restaurant is giving customers a 15% discount if they pray in public. Mary's Gourmet Diner in Winston-Salem gives the discount for anyone who takes the time to appreciate their food before digging in. Although the restaurant has been offering this special for 4 years, a recent Facebook post featuring a receipt with the discount has gone viral, highlighting the practice. Jordan Smith was on a business trip when she got her discount. She told HLN that she and her colleagues prayed over our meal, and the waitress came over at the end of the meal and said, "Just so that you know, we gave you a 15% discount for praying." Some have speculated it was an internet hoax, yet owner Mary Hagelin told Fox News that this is the real deal. "It's about the whole idea of gratitude," she said. "It's not a religious thing, it's a spiritual thing." She says getting the prayer discount is simple. Anyone who comes into the eatery, which specializes in farm-to-table comfort food, seen having a moment, gets 15% off the bill. They don't advertise it, nor do they tell the customers ahead of time. They just deliver the bill with a price reduction. "It's not a policy, and we do it very randomly," Hagelin said, who notes that there are people who don't agree with the practice and they don't make them to enforce it. Hagelin, 60, the daughter of a preacher and missionary, spent her teen years in the Philippines, where she said she saw poverty. She says today she's not a religious person, rather a spiritual person, and stresses that those who see every plate of food as a gift should be rewarded. "I'm so grateful for the beautiful food," she says. Now again, on the surface that sounds great, but anyone who bows their head and prays, that could be a Satanist, that could be a Muslim, that could be a Buddhist, that could be a Christian. All you have to do is bow your head and pray, and you get a 15% discount for your food. Now again, on the surface, kind of sounds pretty nice. And I know that there are some of us that actually, when we go out to eat, we bow our heads and we pray in restaurants, not to get a 15% discount, but to thank the Lord for the blessing of food that he has given to us, not only at that meal, but for all the meals that he has given to us. And so it is, I use that as an example of how prayer can be taken the wrong way. And that is why, again, we need to follow the example of Jesus, who modeled prayer for his disciples, modeled prayer for us And so it is that when we do pray, we do need to pray to Him, and we do need to thank Him, but we also need to be in confession to Him for sin in our lives. We need to pray to Him and acknowledge Him for who He is, that He is God, that He is Lord, that He is the Savior. And then we also need to pray with Him with our prayers and petitions for the needs that we have, acknowledging that once we do pray, that it is in His hands and He can do with it according to His will and to His glory. And so it is that we don't always get what we ask for. But that should be okay. And so it is. Notice here, as Paul goes on, he says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. So again, we need to thank Him for His answer, whatever that's going to be, whether we like it or not, whether we want it or not. And that, again, is the attitude of thanksgiving that the Lord Jesus had and has passed on to us. But we're also to keep alert, stay awake. Matter of fact, let's take a look at a couple of examples of that. You may remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Let's turn to that in Matthew 26 on page 989 in your pew Bibles. Matthew 26, beginning with verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to His disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. Then He said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. That's the same word as stay alert. And He went on a little beyond them and fell on His face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as You will. And He came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, so you men could not keep watch or stay alert with me for 1 hour? Keeping watch and praying that you may not enter into temptation, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, my Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done. Again He came and He found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. Then He left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. And then He came to the disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Jesus, in His time of grief, in His time of need, took His three closest friends with Him amongst the disciples to pray with Him, to be alert and to watch with Him. And they all fell asleep. How many times do we get tired and weary, and as a result of that, maybe we start praying and we fall asleep? The thing is that God is listening. And we do need to have an attitude of prayer all throughout the day. Not just at meals, not just when we get up, not just when we go to bed at night. We need to have an attitude of prayer where we can go to God at a moment's notice and talk with Him about whatever it is that is on our heart, and know that He will hear it and He will receive it and He will give us an answer, which, as I have said before, oftentimes comes back in either a no, a yes, or a wait. And I don't know about you, but sometimes the wait is even harder than the no. But that's all part of what Jesus taught us in praying. That whole idea of staying alert and also with thanksgiving. Jesus used in Matthew 24, 42 to 44 and 25, 13 with His disciples in relation to His second coming. They are even to stay alert for His second coming. Now, it's interesting that before Pentecost and before Jesus ascended to heaven after His resurrection, they wanted to know about His second coming. And basically what He said, that's not for you to know. What is for you to know is that you're to go into Jerusalem and wait for the Spirit and then be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all over the world. And so it is that we are to stay awake in regards to even things like the end times. We ought to know something about them so that we're not surprised. And we'll talk about that as we go along, because Paul says for the believers, we should not be surprised like one in darkness. Because God in His Word has given us so much evidence about things to look for in regards to the time preceding His coming. And that's why it's really interesting to watch the nations of the world. And have you noticed that the focus is often on Israel? That is prophetical. Jesus told us that. That's where Jesus died. That's where Jesus was resurrected. That's where Jesus ascended to heaven. That's where Jesus is coming again. So it is that we need to be alert to these things and get excited about that. That with every event that is prophesied in Scripture, as we see these things happening, that means that we're that much closer to Jesus' return. And it's so easy to just kind of fall asleep with that one too, as if that's not a big deal. But if we were in places like Iraq or Afghanistan or Jerusalem or wherever, where bombs are flying all the time, we might think a little more about Jesus coming back. And we might even look forward to Him coming back to get us out of this mess. So we need to stay alert. We need to devote ourselves to prayer. We need to be alert in regards to Jesus coming back, as well as with an attitude of thanksgiving. Sometimes the rougher it gets, the more difficult it is to be thankful. That's why we need to be thankful in all circumstances, Paul would say. So we need to be devoted to prayer, and we need to be on the alert. Paul also used this word with the Ephesian elders, with whom he had spent 3 years in regards to watching out for the savage wolves or false teachers who had come into the church now that he was gone. That's something else. When we talk with you about reading the Word of God every day, that's not just a casual thing. Because believe me, the false teachers seem to be multiplying in leaps and bounds. And very few were preaching the truth. And it is so easy to wander away from it and get your ears tickled to hear what you want to hear. So it is that we need to be on our guard against false teachers. Paul says, as soon as I'm gone, they'll come into the church. Wow. He says, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men and be strong in 1 Corinthians 16:13. He also talks about that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's look at that one. That's on page 1183 in your pew Bibles. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 to 6. And notice how similar this is in relation to what we just talked about in regards to the disciples. Now, as to the times and the epochs, times and seasons in the King James, same thing as what Luke used in Acts chapter 1. Brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that that day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. And notice again, same words that Jesus used. Same words that Paul uses over and over again in the church. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it, with an attitude of thanksgiving. And then look at verse 3. Praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned. Notice how Paul starts out talking with the believers about praying for each other. And then secondly, he talks about praying for them. How many times do we go to God and the first thing we said is, Lord, I need this. Do we think about something else that somebody else might need before we take ours to the Lord? So important to make sure that when we are praying, we are not just thinking about ourselves. And if anything, we ought to be thinking about others first. And then talk with the Lord about our needs to show our humility, our sincerity. And so here it is that Paul has just told them to be in prayer for each other. And then he says, praying at the same time for us as well. Where were they? Paul was in prison in Rome along with Timothy. Timothy was probably there ministering to his needs. And so while he's in prison, he asks for prayer. And notice what he asks. That God will open to us a door for the Word. In other words, even in prison, he was praying that God would open the door. Now, there were a number of different times that Paul was in prison. Once he was under house arrest. Another time he was chained to a Roman soldier. Talk about an open door. And these guys would change, from what I understand, about every 4 to 6 hours. So just think about that. Talk about a captive audience. Wouldn't that be something if we were chained to government officials? Or unbelievers? And or unbelievers? Would we take advantage of the opportunity? Or would we grumble and complain that our chains are too tight and I can't wait to get out of here? You know, it's interesting. I found this all throughout the Bible, from the Old Testament all the way throughout the New, that whenever God's people went to jail, they never called for a lawyer. They just waited until God delivered them. Wow. How different today. Now remind me of that if I'm in jail sometime and I say, call Jim Guyette. But the thing is, he was praying for an open door. Not only for him, but also for Timothy and any others that had come to be with him. For the Word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ. Now, Paul loves to use that word, mystery. And it's important for us to understand, and this is what William Vine says, in the ordinary sense, a mystery implies knowledge withheld. Its scriptural significance is truth revealed. In other words, what Paul is talking about is things that were not revealed to Israel in the Old Testament that are now revealed to the church in the New Testament. Things like the gospel. Romans 16, 25 and 26, Ephesians 6, 19. Even the church, made up of both Jew and Gentile, here in this passage in Ephesians 3, 1 to 6. And even the partial hardening of Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Romans 11, 25. Now, if you want to know a little bit more about that in regards to the mysteries in the New Testament, I believe Dan has written a paper on that, or put together a paper on all the mysteries. And there are many of them. These are just some of them. New information to the saints in the church. And so it is that he says, will open the door for us, for the Word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned. Now, the interesting thing about that is that you may remember when Paul was saved, he was called by the Lord Jesus to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And even though he was called to be the apostle to the Gentiles, he would often go into the synagogues to preach Jesus to the Jews because he longed for their salvation. He even said he would give up his own salvation for the Jewish people. to come to faith in Christ. But that whole idea when he was preaching about the gospel reaching the Gentiles was the thing that would often really upset the Jews. Matter of fact, when Paul and Barnabas were in Pisidian Antioch, they preached the gospel. Many of the Gentiles came to faith, but many of the Jews were upset, who then stirred up opposition against them. Acts 13:44-52. And when Paul arrived in Jerusalem, Acts 21:27 and following, he was in constant danger with the Jews, who tried to kill him on numerous occasions, but was protected by the Roman army until he came to Rome, where he ended up under house arrest for 2 years. So his preaching good news about the Gentiles joining the Jews in the kingdom of God that got the Jews upset and ended up getting Paul in prison. So when he says, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned. And then he says, and that I might make it clear in the way that I ought to speak. And this should be true for all of us, that we would be praying that not only would God give us the words, but they would be clear for people to understand. Very practical prayer. Beautiful that the Lord allowed us to see that through the Apostle Paul. And then in verse 5, he says, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. That word conduct is walk in the King James Version. And here are a number of examples of how we are supposed to walk based on the Word of God. We are to walk in newness of life. Do you ever think about that? Do you ever think about the old life? And now the fact that you're walking in newness of life? And do you think about the fact, can people see that? That there's a difference between the old and the new? They ought to. We also are to walk by the Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in the ways of God. We are to walk in honesty and decency. Wow. We are to walk by faith. We are to walk in good works. Remember, we're not saved by good works, but we are saved for good works. And that is what we are called to do, to walk in good works. We are called to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. Wow. How do we know what that is unless we read about it in God's Word? We are to walk in love. We are to walk as children of light. We are to walk carefully in wisdom. We are to walk to please God. We are to walk in truth. And I have all these scriptures in your bulletin insert there for you to look those up directly from the Word of God of how we are to conduct ourselves, how we are to walk in this life on our way home. And notice what it says. Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders. We are going to meet up with outsiders every day if we're out and about. So we need to know how to conduct ourselves based on the Word of God, based on what the Holy Spirit tells us and leads us. And then it says, making the most of the opportunity. I like what the King James says, redeeming the time. And Paul adds in Ephesians 5:16, I think I have 5:1 in your inserts, it should be 5:16. For the days are evil. Redeeming the time, making the most of the time. See, I don't know about you, but the more comfy and the more cozy that we get down here, we don't necessarily think about redeeming the time because we think we have lots of time. But keep in mind that Paul wrote this almost 2,000 years ago, and he says the days are evil. Wow! We think the days are evil now. But as we get closer to the Lord's return, the days will get more evil. And as we see that, we are to redeem the time all the more because we're running out of time. Jesus is coming. So that's why we have to be devoted to prayer. That's why we have to stay alert. That's why we have to be thankful. That's why we need to be ready to speak God's word in truth and in love to outsiders and conduct ourselves in a way that not only brings glory and honor to God, but also stands out as different. And then in verse 6, let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Let your speech always be with grace. I love that. Grace-filled speech. Filled with the grace of God. Remembering the grace of God upon your life for salvation, even sanctification. And as a result of that, that should be part of our speech. Paul talks about speaking the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15. Peter talks about be ready to give an account of the hope that lies within us, yet with gentleness and respect. That's all part of the grace of God, truth in love, gentleness and respect. As though seasoned with salt. Did a little study on salt this past week. It was kind of interesting that as I looked at that, I found out three main uses for salt: as a preservative, as a seasoning, and that creates thirst. And I never saw that before. But here's the first thing. A preservative. Are we a preservative of the Word of God, which continues to be watered down and even thrown out in many a church today? And I think I've shared with you some of the history of this church before, how it started out on fire for God, preaching the Word. If you look at the articles of faith, they were solid. They were biblical. And then about 40, 50 years ago, they threw out the articles of faith. There were no articles. You could believe whatever you wanted to believe and be a member of this church. And that was the atmosphere in which not only I came into, but Larry Held preached through a number of times even before I got here. And it was his dad, Ray, along with me and some others, that put back the articles of faith. And I praise God for that, because, again, that's the history of a lot of churches. Start out strong, water them down, throw them out, believe whatever you want to believe. But praise God for those founding fathers, six men, six women, that stood on the doctrine of Christ, that stood on the Word of God as the whole truth and nothing but the truth, that stood on the grace of God that saves and sanctifies. And so that ought to be part of our doctrine. That ought to be part of our speech. That ought to be part of the way that we use it with grace to be a preservative of the truth. And then a seasoning. And I like that word because it means tasty, making things more tasteful. And I thought about that, and I thought about the different creative ways that God has given us to bring truth to people. There's not just one way. There are many different ways. And it could very well be you have your own unique way that the Spirit has led you to share Christ with grace. And then finally, to create thirst. And again, I said before, I never saw that before, but just think about that. Are we preaching, witnessing, teaching the grace of God in a way that creates a thirst and a hunger for Christ? First of all, do we have that hunger and thirst for Christ ourselves? Because if we don't, we won't care to give it to somebody else. But if we do, that's where, again, we need to be in prayer. We need to follow the lead of the Spirit. We need to have the Word of God in our hearts and on our minds so that when we do have the opportunity, the Spirit will bring the Word out. To be a preservative, to be a seasoning, to create thirst, not only in the hearts and minds of unbelievers, but even here today with the believers. Hopefully after the Word of God is preached on any Sunday morning, you have more of a heart and more of a thirst for God and His Word. More of a heart and a desire to reach the lost for Christ. More of an awareness of the fact that the days are getting more evil all the time, that Jesus is coming, we're running out of time, and we need to be His witnesses until He comes or until He calls us home. So that you will know how you should respond to each person. Very practical, very simple, very clear. Let me just highlight these once more. We are to devote ourselves to prayer. We are to keep alert with an attitude of thanksgiving. We are to pray for each other. We are to pray for our leaders. We are to pray for those who have need open doors. And when those open doors come, that God will give you the words. That we will conduct ourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity, and that our speech will always be filled with grace, seasoned with salt, so that we will know how we should respond to each person. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Simple as it is, clear as it is, easy as it is to put into practice through the power of your Holy Spirit. We come before you today to admit that we don't pray like we should. We don't read your word like we should. We're not alert to the enemy, his lies and schemes. We're not alert in regards to the times and that the days are evil and that Jesus is coming and that we're running out of time. Sometimes we don't even think about the way that we conduct ourselves with outsiders. Pray that we would be convicted of that and realize that even here on Sunday mornings and even when we leave this door afterwards, that people are watching and more importantly, that you are watching and we will have to give an account someday. And pray that we would, as we go out, and have open doors, that you would give us the words, that our speech would be filled with your grace and then seasoned with salt so that we will know what to say and how to say it, speaking truth in love with gentleness and respect to draw men and women, boys and girls, to the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and the believers, including ourselves, to make us more hungry and thirsty for Jesus, His Word, the fellowship that we have together, the prayer time that we have together, until that great and glorious day when we get to go home. And for that, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.